And, you know, of course, it's the third week of our fall program, and I would love to talk about that. I'd love to preach about, you know, what we need to do to reach more people for Christ. You know, we serve on bus routes that have a lot of lost people and people that are hurting, people that really need the Lord. And I'm very passionate about what we do on the weekend. I'm very passionate about reaching people and just doing what we can. I feel very spoiled. I feel that growing up in a Christian home, having a Christian mom and dad who took me to church every Sunday, and I feel very spoiled by that. And when I went to Chicago, and I see that they don't have that. They don't have a mom and a dad to take them to church and to mentor them and to pray for them and to lead them. And boy, my heart just, you know, I look at my own life and I think how spoiled I was as a child, and I thank God for that. I wouldn't want to have what they have, but yet God puts them in my heart to want to reach them and try to help them and to give them opportunities that that they would not otherwise have if it wasn't for a bus ministry and bus workers and bus captains who week after week go to Chicago and go to Cicero and go to Berwyn and all the places we go and try to reach them for Christ. And not only do we make an impact in their life, I think about the impact it's had on my life. You know, I'm not the same as I was after I joined a bus route. It changed me. And I would love this morning to talk about that. I would love to preach and talk about how we need to do more for the cause of Christ. We don't need to put the brakes on. We need to press the accelerator. We need to do more for God. And we don't need to work less. We need to work more. We need to work harder. And we need to pray more. And we need to ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit and His power so we can do more for Christ. But honestly, I don't feel that's what God would have me do today. And I sometimes my concern, because I do, I eat, drink, and sleep and live the bus ministry and our school and just trying to help our students and our bus kids, that my fear or my concern is that you as a college student don't hear from me what might be more important than that. And it may sound a little odd, and it'll make sense in a couple of minutes here, but you know, there is something more important than reaching people. And there's something more important than serving and doing what we do on the weekends. And I want to talk to you about that for a bit this morning. You know, several times in the Bible, there's a phrase that says, "Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." And you know, the word "people" is a plural word. God is saying to basically to the world, he's addressing everybody. But then He uses a singular word and says, "I will be your God." You know, it's so important that God becomes my God. And the God that I heard my parents talk about, and I heard my pastor talk about, and I've heard hundreds and at least dozens and dozens, perhaps hundreds of preachers talk about, is not good enough for me, because God has to become my God. And God has to become your God. In 1 Samuel, if you're there in chapter number 16, we'll look at verse number 7, 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to read one verse. We'll talk about that. And then I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles nearby. We'll look at several other verses this morning. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7, let's read this together and read it with me if you can. Ready? "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." That little phrase, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth." For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I want to pray and we'll get right into the message. Father, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, the honor it is to stand before our college students. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I speak. I pray you'd help our students as they hear. And Lord, more than the words that I say, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would convey my heart, would convey the message, the truth, and may it be received today in a way that would be life-changing. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd move among us this morning in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, we know the story, and I'm going to switch over. How's that? Are we on? Here we go. Such issues. Of course, we know the story of Samuel. Samuel is going to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king. And he goes to Jesse and he asks for him to bring his sons. And as the sons stand before Samuel, I see Samuel kind of whispering a prayer, saying, Lord, is this him? Is this he? Is this the man, the young man who I am here to anoint? And I think that Samuel was a little bit surprised because I kind of sense in the verse that we read that Eliab, the oldest son, who was had a fair countenance, had a good countenance. He was tall, he was strong. He was the oldest of the brothers. And I think Samuel kind of thought, well, this has got to be him because of all that I see. And Samuel is looking at the outside and seeing these attributes and seeing these characteristics of this young man. And certainly this is the next king. This is the man that I would anoint. And God says, no, that's not him. And so the next son passes by until he gets through all the boys that are there. And, of course, we know Samuel says to Jesse, are here all of your sons? And Jesse says, no, there's one more. I have one more son. He's the youngest. He's out in the shepherd field. He's out guarding the sheep. And what's interesting is they didn't think to call him. They just kind of left him out on the field when this event was taking place. But the Lord said that he refused Eliab because the truth is God is not interested in the outward appearance as much as God is interested in the heart. And young people, if I could say this, you can dress nice and you can do all you can to improve yourself, and I think you should. And I think you ought to do the best you can every day to be presentable. But know this, that what man sees on the outward appearance of you is not more important than what God knows. Because God knows your heart. And it's so easy in a place like this to blend in where you know the right words to say, you know you have the Bible you carry. You know what color suit to wear, and what color shirt and tie and shoes and socks, and you know all of that. And it's so easy to put on a facade that may say to your peers and those who see you, he's a good guy, he loves the Lord, he has a heart for God, but yet the truth is God is the only one that knows your heart. And one thing we want to remember as we go through life, it's really not what's important is not what you think about me, but what does God know about me? What's important is not what do your roommates think, or do your friends think, or what does your family think. What's more important is what does God know? You know, I came here as a young man attending youth conference, and I've told my testimony here before, but I didn't know anything about Hiles Anderson or even much about serving in the ministry or anything like that. But I came here and God called me to preach. And I knew when I came, God put in my heart to come back as a student. So I went home and saved my money and sold my car. And then I came here as a student as a 17-year-old young man. And boy, I tell you what, this college holds a very special place in my heart because of all that I learned here. I learned so much being a student here at Hiles Anderson. And I love this place. I love our college, and I love what it stands for, and I love the vision and the passion, and I love the mission statement of what we're trying to do, and I love all that I learned. I learned about managing time. And these were important lessons for me because it was a little bit of a challenge at first trying to balance my classes and my job and my ministry and trying to figure out how do I get it all done and make it. And it was a great learning experience for me to come to college and learn time management and just learn how to juggle all these important things and responsibilities in my life and put them in perspective and figure out, okay, this is when I'm going to set aside time for this and time for this and time for this. And boy, I tell you, that has been life-changing for me. Brother Hiles would teach us about learning to live by schedule and working for Brother Ray Young and a man who's incredibly disciplined and taught me so much about living by schedule and your schedule being your boss. And boy, it was such a wonderful and a great experience to learn about time management, learning about dating and marriage and family, learning about how to juggle or balance your ministry and your family and your children, learning that I didn't have to sacrifice my family for my ministry, which was a great lesson, but neither did I have to sacrifice my ministry for my family. And you actually can do both. And you can spend time and love your family and you can be in the ministry at the same time. And I learned that. What a great lesson I learned here at college. Learned about managing finances. And of course, you know, coming here as a freshman, didn't have a lot of money to manage. But, you know, coming to college, now working a job and having a school bill to pay, and it was all new to me. Having a checking account and being responsible for my own money and learning about, you know, tithing and offering and faith promise and paying my tuition and then helping others and all of that, it was great experience for me to learn. And some of you are learning that now, and that's awesome. Some of you might be struggling with that, and I hope you're learning how to manage your finances, because those are principles you will carry with you for the rest of your life. And I'm so grateful for what I learned about managing finances. I'm very grateful for all of my classes, the Bible classes, the teachers who taught the Bible doctrines and church history, church education class, and just learning all the nuts and bolts of ministry. And I appreciate every class and everything I learned and every note I took and every book that I read. Because all of that has become part of me now. And I use so much of what I learned in college today. Every day I use so much of what I learned in Bible college in my life and my ministry. Learning soul winning. Boy, that was huge for me. I never won a soul to Christ prior to coming to Hiles Anderson. I didn't know. I didn't come from a soul winning church. They didn't teach soul winning. We didn't go soul winning. And frankly, I was a little nervous because I had heard that when you go to Hiles Anderson, there's a requirement that you have to go soul winning. And I was nervous about that. But I tell you, I was excited about taking personal evangelism because I wanted to learn how to be a soul winner. I wanted to learn how to win people to Christ. And I remember the first
young man I ever led to Christ was a young man named Angel. And he lived on the corner of Division and Campbell. And on his front doorstep, his front step of his house, I was able to take the Bible and lead him to Christ. And boy, that was an awesome day. And I'm so glad I got to learn how to win people to Christ and the soul winning. And boy, it's so important. And I would encourage you, if you're struggling with soul winning, learn how to be a soul winner. Don't leave Howells Anderson College not knowing how to lead somebody to Christ. Learn it, study it, get with somebody who has some experience, who you can listen to and copy, but learn how to be a soul winner. And that was a great learning experience for me. The preaching. I'd never preached a sermon prior to coming to college. And then the opportunities to preach on the bus. And I remember being so nervous and scared to preach. I remember Brother Young asked me to preach in junior church one Sunday. And boy, I was scared to death. And boy, I prepared and prepared, and I mean, I had notes galore, and I preached a total of 7 minutes. I was so nervous. It was frightening. But I tell you what, I appreciate the opportunity, and the experience of just learning how to preach. That was a great help to me, the ministry and the bus route, bringing visitors and reaching people and filling up buses. And boy, it was just a wonderful experience. And I hope as a college student, you embrace every aspect and every facet of what our college can offer you. And by the way, God brought you here for a purpose and for a reason. There's a reason why God brought you here. And it's for you to learn all these different things that I learned as a student. And I hope you embrace it. I hope you accept it and make it part of your life. But you know, as I reflect on my days in college, I often think about what was the most important thing I learned. What was the most important thing that I learned as a student? Was it the Bible classes and learning Bible doctrines? Was it the soul winning? Was it the ministry? Was it going to Chicago and filling up a bus? Was it the preaching? Was it managing, learning time management or managing finances? Was that the most important thing? And I have to be honest, that wasn't the most important. Because for me, the most important thing I learned at Howells Anderson College was to have a relationship with God. That was the most important thing. And if that was the only thing that I learned, if that was the only aspect of this college that I learned, and if I went all the way through Bible college and the only thing that I learned was to have a relationship with God, I would be glad that I came to Howells Anderson College. I'm very grateful that it wasn't just that and it was a multitude of other things, but this morning I want to just talk about this topic, this subject of having a relationship with the Lord. You know, David is a wonderful example of a young man who had a relationship with God. And you know, I believe this. I believe that while Samuel was going through the list of these young men as he was asking God who would be the next king, David, I believe, was out in a field somewhere fellowshipping with his God. And as you read the book of Psalms, and there's so many scriptures that I believe that the Lord gave to David while he was in a field watching his sheep. And you know, young people, I would dare say that the most important thing you can learn is to have a walk with God and a relationship with him. I want to give you several things this morning that I believe David learned by spending time with God. And I want to be very clear before I give you these items here, but understand this, that it's more than you just listening to my message and hearing and understanding what it meant for David to walk with God. Please know this. God needs to become your God. Because the God of your family, and the God of your parents, and the God of your pastor, and the God of your roommate is not good enough for you. God has to become your God. And the things that David learned in a relationship with God has to become personal with you. I see several things. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, a familiar verse to many, but I see here that David learned about having a secret place to meet with God. And in Psalm 91:1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And David understood the need and the importance of having a time and a quiet place to spend with the Lord. And I would like to ask you this morning, when is your time and where is your place to walk with the Lord? And I understand it can be difficult. I understand that with your schedule of going to class, going to work, your ministry on the weekends, and everything else you're trying to balance in your life, it can be difficult to find a time and a place. But let me encourage you, as a student in college, don't get away from the importance of having a time and a place to walk with God. For me, as a student on this campus, it was not always the same place. Sometimes it was in a prayer room on our dorm floor. Sometimes it was walking out by the lake or out behind the college. Sometimes it was during a break time at my job, going to a locker room while everybody else was somewhere else eating lunch or doing something else. I was in another place, a quiet place, a secret place, and having a time to walk with the Lord. And every person, every student in this room, you got to find a quiet place, a secret place where you can walk with God. And your relationship with the Lord needs to become very personal. It's not a duty. It's not a ritual. You're not fulfilling some sort of a ritual in your daily life. It's a relationship with the Lord that you're trying to develop in your Christian life. We find that David dwelled there. He lived there. His walk with God was constant. In other words, after he left that secret place, the time where he would go and walk with the Lord, it wasn't like he left God there and just went about his life. No, he dwelled there. In other words, he walked with God throughout the day. And you know, the wonderful thing about God is he's always here. He's always there. And you can always talk to the Lord. You can talk to him walking down the hallways of the school. You can talk to him as you're driving to work. You can talk to him as you're walking your bus route. You can always talk to the Lord. And your time with God shouldn't be limited to a few minutes in the morning or a few minutes at night, but you ought to take the Lord with you all the time and acknowledge his presence in your life and communicate with him and talk to him and know that he hears you. And just to have that time and that quiet place, David learned that God cast a shadow, that there was protection and safety under that shadow. You know, as a child of God, I don't want to get too far from under the shadow of God. I want to stay under his shadow and his protection. Next thing I see is that David learned to trust in God's provision. Look at Psalms chapter 46. Psalm 46. If you're still awake, say amen.
Amen.
Psalm 46. You know, again, I'm torn because I'd rather preach to you and motivate you and inspire you to do something big for God this weekend. But I'm not sure that's the most important thing if you don't have a relationship with God. I've known a lot of students who came to our college and did great things for God while they're in college, left here, and shortly thereafter fizzled out and not even in church today. And I wonder if they just grabbed hold of just one little part of what we're trying to teach you, but didn't really grasp the most important thing, and that's to have a walk with God and a relationship with the Lord. David learned to trust in God's provision. Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let me ask you a question. Are you in trouble this morning? Is there a need in your life? Are you facing a school bill and you don't know how you're going to have enough money to pay that school bill? Is there a need in your life? Is there a need in your heart? Is there a spiritual need? Is there an emotional need? Is there something that you need? Let me tell you something. You need to find that there is a God who can provide. He can provide. And by the way, while you're in school, you need to prove that God can provide for you. And it's one thing to come to chapel and these speakers come through and they talk about and they tell the stories how God answered their prayer. And boy, man, praise the Lord, awesome. But God, what about me? What about answering my prayer? What about meeting my need? What about helping me pay my school bill? And we need to understand that God needs to be my God and can provide for me. I remember when I was in college, my freshman year, my parents helped me quite a bit my first year. I was 17, so it was a little hard to get a job because I wasn't 18 yet and didn't turn 18 until the second semester and was able to work and do more for myself. But my parents helped me quite a bit my first year. And I remember coming back my second year, and I wrote a letter to my dad. And I said, Dad, I want you to know that I appreciate everything you've done for me. I am incredibly grateful for the money you sent and the checks you sent, just all the help when I had a need. And it was so easy to call and say, Dad, you know, I'm a little short. Can you send the balance? Can you help me out? And it was great. But you know, my second year, I thought, you know, at some point in my college life, I've got to learn to depend on God. I've got to learn to depend on the Lord. I've got to know that God can meet my needs and that I can go to the Lord and He'll come through for me. And I remember writing a letter and telling my dad I was grateful for all that he did. I said, but Dad, you know, I just want you to know that I want to stop asking you to bail me out because I want to prove that God can answer my prayer. And boy, I was a little nervous sending that letter home. But I wanted in my heart to know that God could meet and provide for me. Some of you need to take a step of faith and say, you know, Lord, it's about time that you and me do business together. And that I can count on you and know and prove you for myself. Because somebody else's story and somebody else's blessing and somebody else's answer to prayer is not good enough for me. I want to know that God hears me. And God can answer my prayer. And David learned that God can provide. And God does provide. And young people, God will provide for you and God wants to provide for you. I learned also, I see here that David learned of God's comfort in the valley. Psalm 23, if you'll turn there. I need to hurry. Psalm 23. Of course, we love these verses. These are wonderful verses in the Bible. But verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David learned of God's comfort in the valley. You know, life is not always on the mountaintop. And there will be sadness. And there will be grief. And there will be death. And there will be heartache. And there will be pain. And there will be hurt. I think of a young couple in our church who today are in a hospital begging God to spare their baby's life. And boy, how they need to know that God can comfort them. God can be there for them. God is a God of comfort. So often our security is found in our circumstances, and yet our security needs to be found in our relationship with God. And we need to find our security in our walk with the Lord and our faith in Him, and that God can provide for me and I can trust Him and God will comfort me. David learned next of God's help to kill the giants in his life. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. In verse number 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And I find that you know, college is about winning and having victory over small events in our life, and know that God can help me. And whatever challenge that I face in life, God can give me the victory. Amen. And know this, that the small victories that God gives you and the answers to prayer that God gives you, it's just setting you up for something bigger. Because there are bigger giants to slay than going to Bible college. There's bigger giants to slay than just getting a diploma for being in college for 4 years. There's bigger giants to slay than a midterm or a final exam. There's much bigger things to kill. But having the confidence that God can help me get through these early stages of my young college life gives me great confidence. David looked at the Goliath. He looked back, and when he killed the bear and he killed the lion, and he said, and his attitude was, "Look, if God can help me kill a bear, kill a lion, I can kill Goliath." And college is a time for you to prove that God can give you victory. And God can help you overcome the challenges of your schedule and in passing your classes. You know, I hope as a bus worker and as a bus captain, you're challenged by a desire to want to reach people, bring people to church. And you know, to be able to prove that God can use me. Oh, I've heard the stories of my parents who came to college and God used them. You know, you hear stories of other students and God used them. And boy, they reached people and they filled up buses and they made a difference. But how about you? How about you? And to win these smaller victories in my life set me up for bigger victories. You know, I think of men who are pastoring unbelievable churches today. And great ministries and great works. And I think about what they were and how they were in college and how for them their bus route was huge to them, like their church is huge to them now. And they took that bus route and it was a big deal, and they had a passion and a heart to reach the people. And they won small victories, and now they're winning even bigger victories. Next, and I need to hurry, David learned of God's forgiveness. In Psalm, turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We'll just skip down. Well, let me read verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." When was the last time you experienced the forgiveness of God? When was the last time you went to that secret place? That quiet place. And said, "God, I acknowledge my sin. My sin is ever before thee. And God, I just want you to know that I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And to know the forgiveness of God is a wonderful thing. Because the Bible says that God is ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. And how we need to go to the Lord and seek forgiveness. And you know, seeking forgiveness is not something you do once a month or a couple times a year. The truth is, it's something we ought to do every single day. We go to the Lord and we humbly confess our sin. And to know the forgiveness and the mercy and the kindness of God. Next, David learned of God's love and care. And I don't have time to, but Psalm 139, 17, 18, you know the verse. But knowing that God loves me, God cares for me. Next, David learned that God has a will for his life. Psalm 143, verse 10. Next, David learned to cast his burden to the Lord. Psalm 55, 2. And then I'll end with this. David learned about the presence of God. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and we'll end with this. Psalm 145, in verse number 18, the Bible says, "The Lord is nigh or near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Hebrews 13, 5 says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Sometimes I think, as a Christian, we think that we can. Let me just illustrate this if I can. Johnny, why don't you come up here? Just leave your Bible there and come up here for a second. Just for a moment, this is God. Boy, God is ugly. No. I want you to stay right where you are. I think sometimes we get the idea that, and by the way, all of us wander away from the Lord at times. But I think sometimes we think that when we get away from the Lord and we're not reading our Bible like we should, we miss a day, we don't pray, we miss another day and we don't pray, and we just get busy. I mean, we're working and we're going to school and we're doing good things. We're not listening to the wrong kind of music, we're not hanging around the wrong crowd, we're not going to parties, we're just doing our thing, but we're really not connecting with the Lord. We're even going soul winning. We're even serving on a bus route. We're even teaching Sunday school, and we're doing all these great and wonderful things. And then we kind of find ourselves and we think, you know what, I am so far from the Lord. And we look at God and God is way over there. And we think how far we've gotten away from God. And that's a little discouraging. And we think, wow, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to get back to God? Do I have to crawl on my hands and feet and work my way back and slowly just find my way back, and hopefully he'll be glad I'm here? And that's not the way it works. This time, stay with me and follow me. Because we all get away from the Lord. We all get busy. Sometimes there may be a day or two or three or four or maybe a week where you don't pray, you don't read your Bible. And you're still doing your thing, and sometimes you walk away, you kind of wander away from the Lord, and you think, wow, God is so far. But really, he's right there. He's right there. And you can walk. Come on, God, you can run. God's a little slow. And no matter how far you think, you know, the Bible says, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, he's right there. He's right there. And anytime you want to, all you have to do is just turn around, and he's right there. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I may wander away from God, but God never wanders away from me. What is the most important thing that we can learn at Howells Anderson? I believe it's this: to develop a very close relationship with the Lord. You know, I'm glad that we have dating couples. We're for dating. Hope you get that. But you know, your relationship with the Lord is more important than your relationship with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. And what makes for a better relationship with each other is that each of you have a relationship with the Lord. Father, I pray that you would